Et c'est au tour de Colin Rolfing, je ne sais pas si j'ai bien prononcé, désolé Colin, qui travaille à l'agence HOK, c'est une très grande agence, la plus grande agence de design, d'architecture et d'ingénierie américaine qui est présente dans le monde entier. Colin, il va nous parler de designing la cinquième, enfin de s'occuper de la cinquième façade, c'est-à-dire des toits. Et j'en profite pour signaler la parution donc du dernier numéro de Vertigo, adaptation au changement climatique et trame verte, quels enjeux pour la ville. Il y avait quelques exemplaires qui étaient présents là-bas sur la table. J'en ai pris un. Il doit en rester peut-être quelques-uns. Ceux que ça intéresse, il y en a encore. Donc vous pouvez y aller. Ceux que ça intéresse, c'est maintenant, parce qu'après il y en aura plus. Et ce sont des recherches qui sont faites ici à Paris, précise Chantal Pacteau, qui a préfacé ce livre, une des préfaces, avec Jean-Paul van der Linden et Sylvie Joussom et Nathalie Blanc, notamment. Ok, you need this?
No, if people in the audience need to put them in.
Ok.
So I have 2 minutes to present then?
Yeah.
Okay. Free.
Great. I'm going to do three. I have my own timer, so hopefully I'll keep the pace as well too. Good afternoon. My name is Colin Rolfing. It's a pleasure to be here. I am the Sustainable Design Director at HOK. We're a global design, engineering, and sustainable consulting firm. What I want to talk to you today is about the fifth facade. You know, how do we view the fifth facade? We've been talking a lot about urban rooftops. Here's an urban rooftop here that we've designed for Porsche's headquarters. Also, this is the City Hall in Chicago, which Michael and Gail, I'm sure, have addressed and will address today. And these are great. They lower heat island effect. They're good for air quality, biodiversity. We've heard a lot about them today. But I'd like to take a focus on the fifth facade today. That's more along the lines of Diana Balmori's ideology. And her ideology is that really the fifth facade is an interface between landscape and structure and architecture. It includes the buildings, it includes the infrastructure, it includes the inhabitants, it includes you and your behavior and how you perceive that facade and that kind of epidermis over the entire city. So how do we put this blanket or this skin over cities? Michael is going to talk in detail about the specific strategies that Chicago has put in place. What I'm going to talk about in general today is how to approach this process for finding efficiencies and sustainability in this fifth facade. How do we get those energy reduction numbers down by 2030, by 2050, et cetera, which has been discussed today. And the intention of this discussion is really trying to take this, the city hardscape, the energy use, the orientations, the people, the landscape, and turn it into this. It doesn't need to look like that, right? It would help if there was some vegetation, but it needs to function like that. We want to focus on the principles of this habitat. And one way we can do that is through biomimicry. Biomimicry is essentially a way of viewing and valuing nature and not extracting from it, but taking lessons from nature and taking the principles that organisms and things utilize in nature to design built space, to renovate built space. And one of the principles I'd like to focus on is being locally attuned and responsive. That lily there actually opens and closes based upon the monsoon season in India to protect its reproductive organs or to gain more sun when the sun's out. Why don't our building facades do the same thing? You know, the humpback whale has nodes on its fins to reduce drag. Why aren't we designing our wind turbines that way? And essentially, we are doing these things, but we need to have them implemented in a deeper way. When we look at biomimicry, we're able to establish environmental performance indicators for a city. So when we look at retrofitting cities or the fifth facade or that blanket, we need to ask ourselves, is the city performing the way nature is performing? Are we collecting water and storing it the same way that ecosystem has been doing? Are we sequestering carbon? Are we filtering pollutants out of our water? Do we have biodiversity? Do we have the percentage of biodiversity that was there before we showed up? So using these environmental performance indicators, we can find new ways to design cities or new ways to redevelop cities. And this is an example from something that we worked on where we took all those environmental performance indicators and overlaid them to lay out the city, to design a city. And they're broken down into different performance criteria for energy, water, food. Those are the environmental factors, but also social, community, culture, health, the way people move in and out of the spaces, how they view those spaces, and finally, the economic standpoint, commerce and value. So this epidermis of the metropolis, you know, how do we address it, and how do we conserve existing epidermis and existing fifth facades? How do we go back to the old fifth facades we used to have before we showed up? So in this case, anything with steep grade, anything that had biodiversity, anything that had a stream, riparian corridor, was kept intact. It wasn't touched. We were then able to implement additional strategies because there was going to be development to further get to those metrics. So looking at the manakara tree, which actually stores water and allows for a certain percentage of infiltration, a certain percentage of evaporation, and then vertical transport of water in the non-monsoon seasons for this development, we developed city substructures that would function the same way as a tree. We laid out our city blocks, not looking at one building rooftop, but an entire block building rooftop to figure out how that water steps down in a gravitational way to slow it down among many city blocks, just like beavers do and their dams and ecosystems, to really slow down that water and filter it. And essentially what we achieved for this project was distributed and gravitational water cycle. All of the storm water, all of the wastewater was moving down those slopes, not using pumps, not using a lot of electricity, but being treated and being moved down into the city into a lower level where it became actually a recreational body of water. We also overlaid this city, and we did computational fluid dynamic analysis and solar analysis to determine where are the best potentials for renewables. Can they become a part of the fifth facade, whether it's on the roofs, whether it's in open spaces, whether it's on slopes? We found that there was high wind velocity on the slopes, and actually that there was potential for these solar corridors throughout the city that could actually link up and exchange energy production through different converters. If they're too spread out, sometimes you get a lot of line losses for your solar capacity. So reserve those spaces, reserve that facade for the renewables. And essentially, you get these spaces that are a part of the overall overlay of the city that have renewables, and it's distributed electricity. There's a lot of talk about smaller scale distributed electricity. And the good thing about this is that you can then start to exchange. You know, we have a lot of different building types in this city, so why don't we put them close to each other if they have potential for exchange? So we located healthcare facilities with high energy use, but a very odd load profile next to residential units, not only for convenience purposes, but also because all of the waste heat from those hospitals can then be utilized for solar hot water heating in the residential, which is a high energy load. So locate them close together, install heat exchangers, install closed-looped chiller and steam systems so that these buildings actually interact with one another. That's how the city is laid out to create this skin. And there's the exchange. So just a quick snapshot of, you know, just the city view here, the idea of this blanket where things are overlaid as a fifth facade and function in multiple ways: energy, water, food, biodiversity, habitat, carbon sequestration. Even the districts, going from the city scale down to the district scale, even the buildings, when we're talking about infilling and different options of where to infill those buildings, they should be oriented in an appropriate solar direction and an appropriate wind direction. This is a project where all the buildings were optimized to pull natural ventilation off of a body of water and bring them through the building and up a solar tower. This eliminated 60,000 square meters of space that was initially conditioned. Those layouts need to happen. Looking at biomimicry again, at the building scale, this is a project where we had gophers on our site that had burrows all in one direction. And those burrows actually were in the direction of prevailing winds, and they had two air changes per hour in their burrow. And we tried to lay out our building and design it the exact same way that locally attuned and responsive creatures had been doing for 3.8 billion years. So again, the appropriate layout for a city, the appropriate skin And going from that city scale to the regional scale to the building scale, how should we then address all of our facades? Yes, the roof, but if this is truly a blanket, we should also function, talk about the existing facade. This is Project Haiti. We've been working on it. It's a living building with biomimetic principles. We looked at local trees that have bark. When the bark comes off, they actually do some self-shading and then cause convective flows inside, so it cools the building down. Why can't we design our facade to mimic local organisms on site? The same is true for these two net zero projects we've been designing. One is an existing building, one is a new building. The way those roofs were laid out, the way we cut into the existing roof was to optimize daylight, was to optimize renewable energy production. This is how the fifth facade becomes an energy producer. And also, we talk about production. In previous slides, we talked about production, consumption, but also exchange. You know, locating buildings in an appropriate manner so they can exchange energy. So this is a new way of designing. It requires analysis. And the process is difficult. It's upfront. It's more work. Climate in place. You know, working in Paris versus Montreal versus Chicago is completely different. Every city needs to do a climate in place analysis to figure out where you are. We can't forget landscape. This is, you know, a lot of discussion today about vegetation. We wouldn't have achieved a net zero energy building if we didn't appropriately design the landscape for this project. We couldn't block any of the sun, and we needed insulation properties to make this a net zero building. So it's all linked together. And then finally, we can look at the city and the region and the building strategies, but it's really about the inhabitants. It's about you and how you perceive the space that you're around. You know, in 2 years, we'll be able to hold up our iPad or iPhone and see the energy use in every building in at least London, Chicago, New York, everybody that's doing this. And user perception and how that changes their behavior is going to drive that additional energy reduction in that space down. And I do want to leave you with a quote today from Alex Steffen. He wrote the book World Changing. He is a self-proclaimed futurist and design optimist. And I think a lot of people in this room are exactly that. Readiness to act will allow cities and communities to invest boldly in growing resilience and building up the local capacity for innovation, adaptation, and rapid cultural change. There comes a point where lack of action means further incremental change can no longer keep up with exponential problems, as addressed earlier. Personally, and I agree with this, I'd rather live in a city that's moving fast to meet the future than one that started farther ahead but is stuck and complacent, or simply unwilling to go beyond more incremental change. I think that Paris, Chicago, and Montreal are these cities, and I think that you are futurists and optimists, and I encourage you to keep up the good work. Thank you.